Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 5, Geographic Names at the Top Level Call held on Wednesday, the 29th of May, 2019 at 2000 UTC. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Zoom room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now? Thank you. Hearing no names, I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. At this time, I do see a phone number ending in 459 and a phone number ending in 240. If you could please put your name in the chat so that I can relabel your line for the attendance list. And I will turn it over now to Martin Sutton. Please begin.
Thank you, Andrea, and welcome everybody from myself and the other co-leads. I'm hoping you enjoyed a break from meetings last week and are eager to reconvene today. So without further ado, we've got the agenda that was issued and circulated and is in front of you now, if you're looking at the screen. So we'll be going through an approach for next steps and starting the review of the summary document, which I'll talk about in a short while. And then AOB, I think one of the items there we'll probably look at is just preparation for ICANN 65. But if anybody else has got any questions or additions for AOB, for instance, for the agenda, please raise your hand now and let us know. Don't see any. Okay. So just for our regular formalities, and if there's any exciting news to share and you've updated your statement of interest recently, this is the time to make sure everybody else is aware. So please, if anybody's got anything to talk about, please raise your hand. So I'm getting some background noise. If you're not speaking, if you could just mute, please. And I think, Christopher, we've got your video on. If you can switch off the video. Excellent. Thank you. Oh, almost. That's it. Thanks very much. Okay. So moving forward then, just to outline the approach that we're looking at now. Which is really just sort of funneling all of the data that we've had from the discussions through work track 5 over the last year and a half, which culminated in the issuance of the supplemental initial report with preliminary recommendations, to which we've recently completed a first review or categorization of all the comments that we had back in, which were, I'm glad to say, from a broad array of the ICANN community. So we've taken some time to go through that and make sure that we've understood those comments and summarize them in a way that we think is reasonable, or interpret them in a way that is reasonable and acceptable for us to proceed. So what we have been doing is trying to work through what was quite a lot of not just preliminary recommendations and feedback for those, but also the ideas and proposals from within Work Track 5 that were put out into the initial report, along with questions. And a lot of those relate to specific or multiple recommendations in the document or other things outside of those recommendations. So what we've done is gone through, staff have created a mind map so that we could actually work out which proposals or questions related to which. And that's helped us to formulate or start to formulate a consolidated document that, again, you should have had sight of from the link that was circulated with the agenda. And in that document, what we're looking to do is to follow very much what is happening within the overall working group, where we're looking at referring to all of the background documentation that's been prepared and created. Looking at what are our goals, what's the what are we seeking to accomplish within the working track? And then looking at the summarising those public comments that we've been through so far. And from that, can we tease out anything that's an issue or a new idea that needs further substantive discussion within the group? So those are the things that we'll be exploring now. So I hope you've, one, had a chance to at least familiarise yourself with the content of the document. I will talk through some of this, although it is high level, before we start our substantive discussions. Okay, and then obviously the intention then is, as we go through any of this summarization, consolidation of the information that we've had to hand, this will start leading us towards what output we want to give to the working group. So any recommendations that we want to push through then to the working group, then there'll be decisions made as to what gets incorporated into the overall final report that's submitted to the GNSO Council. So that gives you a very quick overview of the approach. Is there any questions, first of all, just on the approach that I've outlined there, or anything to add from any of the other co-leads or staff that I may have overlooked? I'm not seeing or hearing anything, so I shall carry on. So as you'll see on the document that's presented to you, or if it's easier to read it in the actual Google Docs, please use the link. Thanks, Steve. He's just posted it into the chat if you want to make it easier to read. So in the first section, it covers the background documentation. So we've always got something to refer back to from all of the conversations within the work track, with the public comments that were received as well, and the review document that we've been going through for the previous number of meetings. So moving down here, we've then got the policy goals and what are we trying to accomplish here. And this was set, this is basically pulled from the set of principles that, and I can't remember which ICANN meeting it was, that we moved forward with this. But this outlines four particular points in alignment with Principle C from the GNSO recommendations in 2007 on new GTLDs. The program should allow for the introduction of new GTLDs. Number two was in alignment with Principle A from those same recommendations, to enhance the predictability for all parties. Thirdly, to reduce the likelihood of conflicts within the process as well as after the process concludes and TLDs are delegated. And finally, policies and processes should be simple to the extent possible. So those are things that we've discussed previously in the work track, and hence we've pulled them out to headline this document. Before I go any further, is there any questions on that, or is there anything that people feel that we should add or amend on that list? I've got Christopher with his hand up. Please go ahead. Can't hear you yet, Christopher. You appear to be on mute.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for this introduction. And thank you for the staff's last minute reminder as to the details for this call, which somehow got lost in the inbox. I welcome the reminder of those 4 points. I noticed that predictability is supposed to refer to all parties concerned, whereas, as I've said before, much of what we've done to date is about predictability for the applicants, whereas particularly for geographical names, the most important thing is predictability for the third parties, and particularly the populations, communities and governments in the areas relating to geographical terms, indeed all terms, all geographical terms. Also, I also agree that we should be avoiding disputes, but the recent developments over .Amazon confirm that unless we're very careful and we do have formal agreements for prior authorization of geographical terms, the kind of disputes that we've seen in .Amazon over the last 7 years and are still going on, because you've seen the statement from the Andes community. The 2012 business did not do this at all. So we've really got to do much better than that. Thank you.
Okay, so but with regards to these points here, they you've got no additions or questions regarding these. So I can't see anybody else.
No, I just suggest very strongly that we should make a greater effort to fulfill those objectives, because in 2012 they failed to do so.
Okay, so let's move on then, Christopher, because then we can go into more
absolutely
substantive discussion. So this is just making sure people are introduced to the format of the document and the relevance to the information that's already been populated. So in the next part, these are essentially very high-level summaries. Caveat on all of these is that, you know, these are subject to some further refinements as we go through the substantive discussions as we get further into detail. But I think this is helpful in terms of giving you an idea of the impressions of what we've managed to take from all of the public comments and consolidate that into key points here for each of these. So the first one is very much about the overall 2012 implementation and the overall preliminary recommendations, of which there's a lot of support from the comments that are received. Basically in support of maintaining what was virtually in the 2012 round. And this still is not including translations. That's an area still of some discussion that we need to go through based on the comments that we've had back. It is worth outlining, though, that some of that support is caveated as well, in the sense that they feel that the 2012 treatment was already a compromise, and that they don't believe that governments have an exclusive legal basis in geographic names, but are willing to continue on that basis and accept that it's a compromise solution as it stands. There is some outright opposition from some commenters, and we'll outline some of those because they speak to certain areas of the preliminary recommendations as we go further. But that's a very high level view of the overall recommendations put forward. Then we drill it down into sort of two or three chunks rather. The first of which relates to all of the reservations or restrictions related to country and territory names. So these are held under recommendations 2 to 9. So rather than keep repeating ourselves, there was very much a theme outlined in most of these. So when you look at this together again, the theme here is that there's good support from most of the commenters that the existing 2012 rules are acceptable to continue. But again, outlining the fact that this is already considered to be on a sort of compromise basis already, and are willing to support that going forward. There are some specific exceptions that we need to sort of drill down on, which is the three character codes, and also any other sort of finer elements that we've pulled out within the new ideas and concerns from the comments. So again, we'll go through those, but again, very much a generalization of what we've pulled out from the recommendations for country and territory names. As we go down the list, again, with regards to wider rules which related to capital cities, city names, we can start to see there's a bit more divergence that happens. So this next chunk relates to just recommendations 10 to 13, which is those that currently require letters of support non-objection. So from that group, there is, again, you know, support from commenters. There is a lot more opposition from some commenters, and in particular against capital city names, but less so against the sort of subnational names and UNESCO regions. So again, we'll discuss those a bit further in detail as we go through. And then finally, this batch of geographic terms that require a letter of support non-objection dependent upon the intended use. So this is related to recommendation 11. So again, there is some support caveated, you know, with the fact that they feel that this is already a compromised solution. So happy to continue on that basis. There is opposition, but that's split into two areas. So there's, you know, one extreme is that some feel that there's no legal basis for those cities to have a preference or a single right, versus those that feel that the requirement should be more broadly covered across any cities. So any letter of support non-objection should be expanded further than what it currently is covered in the rules. So Greg, just to let you know, you're on video, so you might want to just try and switch that off. Good to see you though. So that just goes through sort of framing very, very a condensed version of what we've seen in chunks of the recommendations. So I hope that's kind of helpful just to bring that together. And now we can go through the particular areas in a bit more detail where we feel that there needs to be further discussions before we can proceed further. So before I do that, was there any questions, suggestions relating to those very high level summaries that stand at the moment? So I can see some chat. So,
Martin, it's Annabeth here. It's a lot of hands up now. Arasta, Horsha, and Christopher.
Excellent. Sorry. Thank you. I was just going through the comments.
Yes,
as well.
Of course. It's a lot of things to see.
But Arasta first, then Jorge, and then Christopher. So, Arasta.
Hello. Good evening from Europe. Do you hear me okay?
I do. I think we've got Arasta first, though, in the queue. And then to you, Jorge.
Okay. I'll leave it to Carlos.
But we can't hear Arasta yet, so wait there one moment.
Do you hear me, please?
Yes, we do. That's great. Please go ahead.
Yes, Martin, we should be very careful when we quote or when we state the comments. You use sometimes adjectives, a lot, and so on and so forth. I don't know when there are a lot of opposition, whom they are representing, how you count they are. If there are 10 or 12 or 15 individuals, and there are one or two countries or representative of the countries, you cannot compare them. You could not say there's a lot against and there is a little less in favor. We should think that that is the process, unfortunately, in the ICANN. You rely very much on the individual. The individual, they do not represent sometimes except themselves. but no one else, or few people. But when somebody from a government talks, he has the mandate to represent that country with the people of that country. So we should be quite careful not saying that a lot or the little or small or big and so on and so forth. This adjective is troublesome. And I do not understand the people asking, saying that there is no international legislation or law that this cannot or can be used. There are some things that we don't need any law. The customary law is not written. They are customary. And they are more stronger than written law and legislations. So please kindly, you, Olga, and the others, the four co-chairs, be quite careful when you want to quote these things and avoid the sort of adjective or descriptive or narrative, some a lot or several or many or so on and so forth. I'm not suggesting anything, but please kindly be aware of that. Thank you.
We can, right, this is Martin. I'll take your point, but we've got all the backup information already. We can't just keep replicating that into huge documents. This is the objective of this, is to try and consolidate all of the comments that we've had in. So that's from a broad array and from the community and beyond. So this is very much as stated at the right at the beginning. These are high level consolidation summaries, and we're going further into substantive discussion following this. So I understand your point. I think we've been through this on a few of the other working groups as well. So I think, you know, that's played through to the point that, you know, these aren't treated as, you know, trying to do a count of anything. It's trying to get an understanding of where the steer is. Is it somewhere completely different to what we already put in our initial report? And do we need to take note of those to change anything in that initial report? So please accept it as that way forward, so it helps the conversation. If we need to drill back down to any of the detail that we've had in comments and who said what, we've got that. The links will take us back there, and we can go back in and dig in further where we feel necessary. But at some stage, we've got to bring that all back into one document that is digestible, is understandable, but can refer back to the detailed content that we've had through the work group discussions, through the initial report publication, and through the comments that we've received across the community. So we appreciate that everybody has had the opportunity to put in their comments. That's the process that we have. And now it's up to this work track to make sense of those comments. So we've been through the process of making sure that we understand those comments. And this is trying to pull them together and to summarize so that we can understand, is there anything that we need to move significantly on from our initial report recommendations? Is there any finer refinements that we need to do based on some of the comments and ideas that have come forward?
So yes, there is one.
I hope
there
we
is
can
one.
Make it in that
yeah.
context.
There is one refinement, yeah.
Forward with the process of going down, and we'll be able to dig deeper into those deliberations and comments as we go further in the document.
Yeah, you said there is a refinement. Yes, there is. I have a suggestion for refinement of the text.
Yeah, please, if it's just a reply, please go ahead.
Can I say?
Yeah, are you replying to that comment? Please go ahead, and then we'll go to Jorge.
Yes, yeah. My comment would be, whenever you want to quote or refer to something, because we cannot count the heads, and because no clear idea representation, the only neutral term would be, some people say this, and some others say that. When you say some is uncountable, that's all. But not a lot, not many, not several, not few, not significant, not minor, and so on and so forth. Total neutral. Some people say this, some other people say that. Not others, some others. Some and some others. This is a total neutral way how we express whenever there is divergence of view. Thank you.
Thanks. Jorge?
Hello, this is Jorge again. Do you still hear me?
Yeah, we do. Loud and clear.
Hello, good evening, Jorge Canfi for the record. I understand that this is a very difficult exercise now to boil this down to some pages, and I was asking in the chat if this is a summary of the public comment. Steve already answered in the affirmative. And the question was because in the end, the public comment, although it has brought other voices into the discussion, in my opinion, very much confirms the discussions also within the working group during this last 1 year and, I don't know, some months. The other thing I also mentioned, I think that would need to be taken into the summary is that everybody from all the different positions, when they are supporting or when we are supporting the 2012 solutions, we are supporting it because it was a compromise. So it's not just that one party accepts this grudgingly as a compromise. No, everybody is accepting this as a compromise because starting positions in 2012 were very different, and starting positions now would also be very different if we were to go back to starting positions. So I think that in the summary, it should be made clear that this acceptance as a compromise comes not only from one camp of all the discussion. And finally, on the question of counting heads or not counting heads, in the end, this is not about counting heads. And I think in Kobe, we had this discussion already. But in the end, the WorkTrack 5 is a very special working group. And this is in the terms of reference of this working group. And in the end, it's up to you, the four co-chairs of this working group, to determine the levels of consensus. And the levels of consensus, in my opinion, have to take into account the composition of this work track that is based on the two supporting organizations and two advisory committees. And when making the determinations of levels of support or whatever in this summary, it should be made clear whether the support or the opposition or a specific opinion comes from only one supporting organization or parts of that supporting organization or parts of an advisory committee, or if those are positions that are widely held by people across constituencies, across supporting organizations and advisory committees, because that really gives you a sense whether this is a position held by a very specific part of the community or that may have a lot of different groups with different acronyms representing it, or whether this is an opinion or a position that is held by people in two supporting organizations and in two advisory committees. So I'll leave it by that, and I hope that this is taken up. Thank you.
Thanks, Jorge. And I think as we go through the next sections, you'll start to see how that pans out, where we try to capture, you know, what are the groups that relate to a specific steer. And that, I hope, will again illustrate how we can condense a lot of the information that we've had into something that we can consume to see if there is any variations on the recommendations that we put forward in the initial report that we should be looking at, or any sort of finer refinements to those. I've got Christopher, Greg and Jim. So Christopher.
Hello, good evening again, Christopher Wilkinson. Three points. First of all, I hear all this stuff about the governments and the countries and the communities having no rights to their own names. I have considerable skepticism about that argument. But for present purposes, I would just point out that all the applicants, especially those from third countries who different from the countries concerned, have even less rights. The argument that there may be a weak rights in common law of to certain names in the countries concerned, which I don't accept, cannot be overridden by people demanding the right to apply for names that they have even less rights to. I think that needs to be completely reviewed. Secondly, I'm going to say something very strong. I'm sorry to some of you, but I think the staff and the co-leads should review the comments received. And insofar as comments are received from incumbent registries or potential applicants or their representatives, they should be invited to recuse themselves. We cannot possibly do this business on the basis of a sort of collective shout from extremely interested parties. I think they have no standing in the economic aspects and the business aspects of these decisions. And finally, Martin, I have the impression that you want to give high priority to the comments received in public consultation. They're very interesting and very useful. But the comments that you have received from members of WorkTrack 5, people who have spent hours in the last 18 months on these subjects, and some of whom actually know quite a lot about it, they should take precedence over off-the-cuff comments from interested parties. Thank you.
Greg?
Thanks. Greg Shatton, for the record. The conversation we've been having so far is probably a lot more germane to the enhancing the multi-stakeholder model public comment that's currently open, since there seem to be some very divergent and, to my mind, incorrect views of how the multi-stakeholder model is supposed to work, and how stakeholders are supposed to work. The idea of dismissing interested parties, which is, in a sense, you know, many of the stakeholders, is ludicrous. The idea that governments should be more equal than any other set of stakeholders is, when we talk about self-interested parties, that's entirely be understood, but this is not Animal Farm, and no stakeholder gets to be more equal than any other. So overall, I think maybe this is setting up for some, argument down the road, or just, it's part 37 of the one we've been having, maybe for 20 years in some cases. And lastly, the idea that you shouldn't indicate a level of support when that's kind of a core aspect of this, that's also ludicrous. While this is in many ways a very heterogeneous group, it is still a GNSO working group. And the GNSO, obviously the S stands for supporting, not stakeholder. And within the GNSO, there are a number of very divergent and different stakeholder groups and constituencies. And, you know, the fact that they are all grouped under the umbrella of the GNSO, you know, it should not be used to somehow mute their voice or just decide that somehow we're all the same just because the GAC is all governments and the CCNSO is all, you know, country code TLD operators. The GNSO is not, you know, just the just this whole, this holistic mass. So it's been all very interesting to hear kind of the statist view, but I think that all of these views, and, you know, I'd rather not have talked about them at all, but I felt that since one side was being heard from, we should hear from the other. And I encourage the previous speakers to put in their comments to the enhancing the multi-stakeholder model, so that their views on how the multi-stakeholder model works can be taken account there. Bye.
Thanks, Greg. And I've got Jim next.
Yeah, thanks, Martin. Jim Prendergast for the record. You know, as listening to these last three or four comments, you know, I might have a suggestion for the co-leads, and maybe it's for the overall work track or the sub-pro co-chairs, and that is, there is still a bit of confusion about what this document is and sort of what the exercise we've been going through is. And I think Steve from staff did a nice job of saying, you know, this is not the consensus call portion of the process. What might help put some people at ease and help explain the process to new participants is that if there was a document that could be created by the leadership that explicitly sort of lays out what the consensus call process would look like, what the co-leads or the work overall work as PDP co-chairs, what will they be looking for, how they will be assessing, you know, Jorge mentioned, you know, is somebody speaking on behalf of a, you know, an acronym organization within the ICANN community, or are they speaking on behalf of themselves? How are those going to be treated? I think getting that in writing and having it as a reference as we go through this process, I think will be extremely important so that everybody has a reference point to go back to and say, okay, this is the procedure and this is the process. I now know how it's going to operate. Thanks.
Thanks, Jim. And I think feel free to chime in from other co-leads or working group chairs, co-chairs, but the work track five is not the area to conduct the consensus calls within. It's, this has to be taken as a product to the full working group. So it's important to understand that. So what we're doing is we've already gone through, as I said earlier, checking and trying to make sure we understand what the comments meant and how we could capture those in a way that could be understood and recorded. But we can't just use that bulky document to proceed forward. We've got to somehow make sense of it all. So from all of those categorizations and picking out the new ideas, etc., what we're trying to do here is funnel it into something that where we can conduct substantive discussions about things that were brought up within those comments that we may not have covered within the working group before. I think, you know, what we've just covered already is a very high level viewpoint of where we are, which is that, you know, a lot of this stuff may not change the recommendations that were put into the initial report. But we've got to come up with a product and output that we can present from work track five to the working group and get the consensus calls to be applied at that stage that feeds into the final report. So I don't know if Jeff, Cheryl, you needed to add anything to that for further clarity. Hearing none. Christopher.
Thank you, Christopher Wilkinson, again for the record. Very quickly, Martin, I've been aware for some months about the risks of the scenario that you have just described. May I just say for present purposes that I would not accept that the PDP or the GNSO override recommendations, even minority recommendations from the WT5. And I think given that the importance of both visually and practically for the composition of the co-leads in WT5, I think for those purposes that you've just referred to, the PDP should co-opt co-leads from the other SOACs, because there is a risk now that the PDP and particularly GNSO Council will be tempted to try and override the interests of participants in geographical names. Thank you.
Well, let's see if we can move ahead then to actually start formulating an output that can go to the working group and understand that, you know, the stronger that we've got a work track 5 push for the output to go ahead to the working group, any recommendations then that are taken forward showing support are much more less likely to be hindered as they get processed through the approval process of GNSO and the board. And don't forget that there is at that stage still opportunities for wider public comments to come in on the publication of the final report. So I think if we could move to the next section so that we can really start to drill down on some of these specific areas. So I'm not sure what the time, how are we doing? Okay, we're doing okay for time. So we'll try and push through some of the country and territory names recommendations. So the things that we're pulling out here is really drilling down to things like the two character codes. So this highlights that certain groups, CCNSO, Centre, AFNIC, NORID, CITC, all have concerns with the two character letter combinations at the top level where there's opposition to remove that reservation. Concerns there about string confusion and possible abuse. So that just frames the groups that have commented and had similar opinions with regards to the two character. There were others that looked at saying, well, actually these should made generally available, or there were concerns raised, does not support any restrictions from the BRG on geographic terms, but I think that's caveated, you know, status quo can continue if that helps to proceed further to the next round. From NCSG, the in terms of freedom of expression and the availability of string identifiers. So that pulls out some of the concerns that were raised. I don't think we've got new ideas at this point, but does that raise any questions, comments from the group when we're just focusing on the two character letters? Bearing in mind that the recommendations put forward is very much a status quo for the two-character country codes. Otherwise, it's easier if we can move on. We don't want to sort of regurgitate all the work track 5 discussions, but does this sort of move us away from those recommendations in any significant way that we would want to explore? I've got Steve and then Anne Beth.
Thanks, Martin. This is Steve Chan from staff. And Before we got too far into this section, I wanted to try to provide a little bit of context of what it's intended to accomplish. You'll see that the header is called Outstanding Items, and then it says New Ideas, Concerns, and Divergence. So the purpose of this is to pull out the new ideas and concerns and divergence that come from the public comments received. So it's not necessarily to be exhaustive or to document all the support that was received. It's really trying to pull out the different and new things that came about from public comment. So in that vein, it's most definitely not exhaustive of the public comment that's received, but more about trying to pull out things that appeared from the public comment review of WorkTrack 5 to be the things that warrant further discussion. So as I said, just wanted to try to get that in before we get too far in the section. So, you know, if you don't see your comment highlighted in the section, hopefully that helps explain why. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. And Beth?
Yeah, it's Annabeth Lang here for the record. I think this can be a little confusing because what we are talking about here in the first bullet point is the letter digit combinations that CCNSO Center, AFNIC and UNINET NORID was supposed to. And as Steve said, it was new things coming in. And as for the two letter combination, I think that generally available as they on the other bullet points, that's what that is talking about. So, and then it should be in place also to say that the reason why it should be the status quo is that it's not the role of ICANN to decide what is a country and what is not, and therefore it should be available to letter for new countries coming into the world later in later instances. So I think this is a little twisted, to be honest, and it can be difficult for members to understand what we really mean here. So perhaps we should think a little more how it's written. Thank you.
Thanks, Annabeth. So is there any discussion points that people would like to raise on this after Annabeth has much more clearly pinpointed what was covered in the extractions here? Okay, I'm seeing none. So if we move on to the next point, if we could just scroll down to the three character codes. Just want to check I haven't misread this one as well then. So, Steve, would you mind just clarifying what we've pulled out here for the Alpha 3 codes? As in, is it a deviation from the preliminary recommendation here?
Sure, I can try. Thanks. This is Steve from staff, and Emily might pop in as well if she wants to help provide some clarification as well. So indeed, it's actually a little bit more than just the preliminary recommendation section. We've tried to organize the comments received more thematically, and that is actually consistent with what you mentioned earlier in the agenda item 2 about the approach here. So we had 38 proposals, and when you think about them in the abstract, it struck staff as hard to put them in context of where they belong. So the idea is to try to pull in the comments relative to the topic. So the topic here is Alpha 3 codes listed in the ISO 3166-1 standard. So there's, of course, the preliminary recommendation that was in respect of this category. But there's also a handful of proposals that also touched on this very subject. And so our intention was to try to pull all of that into a cohesive section. So that's why you see some of the concerns here, but then you also see a number of different proposals that are, different variations on making the Alpha 3 codes available. So, some say they should be widely available, Some say they should be available with government support and et cetera. So hope that helps provide a little context. There, it's intended to be everything. So also inclusive of the question, which you'll see that comment in the Google Doc from Emily. So hope that helps. Thanks.
There's some background noise. If we could, or if you could go on mute if you're not speaking, that would be great. That's better. Thank you. So under the three character codes, the CCNSO concern that's flagged here is that the policy must take into account the list of three character codes that may change and should avoid creating a distinction between countries' pre and post effective date of the policy. At a minimum, the actual list of alpha 3 codes should be consulted whenever a three letter string for a TLD is under evaluation. So, does anybody have any points to raise on this or questions? This seems to be sort of adding further clarity or qualifications to three character codes and timing of any changes or additions going forward. I've got Christopher and then Annabeth. Christopher?
Oh, I defer to Annabeth first, please.
Annabeth, please go ahead. You might be on mute, Annabeth, still.
Sorry, I try again. Albert Lang here. I just wanted to try to interpret what the CCNSO really meant by this short comment here. That's extraction from their comments. What they mean is that the three-letter codes that is already on the list should not be used as a GTLD, and new three-letter codes that can come in after, if it's established a new country in the world. We have talked about the two letters already, but then that country will also have a three-letter code, and that three-letter code might already have been used as an ordinary GTLD, but if not, it should be consulted whenever a three-letter string for a TLD is under evaluation. That was what they meant with this comment, as far as I remember. I hope they made it a little clearer.
Thank you, Annabeth. I think that, yep, perfectly clear. And I'm just trying to remember back now to the language that is used in connection with the three character codes and whether that is adequate to cover that point, but I haven't got that in front of me. So that might be something we want to check to see if there is a way to add that referral point on to, you know, every time an application is covered.
Yes, I think so. We try to make that clear.
To the up-to-date three character codes. We probably just need to check back on that one to see if that is captured already in language adequately enough or whether it needs to perhaps be tweaked. Okay. So the next,
Christopher.
I passed you. Let's go back. Have you got a comment relating to this?
Christopher?
Hi, again, Christopher Wilkinson. Martin, you will not be surprised. Of course, I support the protection and reservation of three-letter country codes. This is about the three-letter currency codes. We've discussed this in the past, and I have been politely informed that this is out of scope for WT5, that which I do not agree, but passons. It must be referred to PDP. But the PDP has not taken this up, in spite of being invited to do so. Look, the three-letter currency codes are of greater economic significance and actual use than even the three-letter currency country codes. And in ISO 42.17, I think it is, the They are derived from the two-letter country codes in 3166. There is no way this group can get away with telling the world that the currency codes are not protected and are free for registration.
Sorry to interrupt, but this is once again taking us away from what we're trying to do on the calls as I've said earlier, we have other areas within the feedback, which we won't come on to today, but talk
okay.
about...
Martin, I understand your point, but I have the severe expectation that the co-leads may really be doing is to eliminate certain serious issues by focusing entirely on those issues that you've chosen to support. Thank you.
Just bear in mind that there are places within the report and feedback that will come on today.
Martin, I apologize. This is Andrea. Your sound has gotten very low.
Was that? Can you hear me now?
Much better now. Thank you.
Okay, sorry about that. So there's a place and a time that we can come back to anything that was not covered within the current recommendations that were included in the initial report. I think the particular topic that you referred to has been spoken about many, many times within Work Track 5. What I'd like us to do is to keep proceeding through this. There will be a time and opportunity to cover that again if we need to. But please bear in mind that everybody is joining these calls to get on with the job and move forward. So please try and keep to the agenda as we've put forward. So regarding the Alpha 3 codes, you'll see then a list of comments that were put forward that were talking about making the three character codes available. So there was some divergence from ALAC, Registrar Stakeholder Group, talking about making the strings available for delegation from ALAC's perspective to governments or entities with government support non-objection. From the Registrar Stakeholder Group, allow applicants to approach a country for a letter of non-objection if they have an interest in using the three letter generically. BRG concerns that it does not support any of those restrictions at the top level, especially where there's they hold a matching trademark and where it's to be used for the purposes of the brand and not to represent a geographic term. Then there was a group of registries, the NCSG, Inter, and the IPC, which commented that they should be eligible for use as GTLDs and believes there's a lack of a legal basis for reservation and that many of these strings have other meanings. So I'll stop there before there's others that sort of then go on to make available for governments. Does anybody have any comments or feedback in terms of those comments put forward where we've seen strong divergence covered here? Steve?
Thanks, Martin. This is Steve Chan from staff again. And so while we're waiting for input from WorkTrack 5 members, I thought maybe I'd take another stab at trying to help explain where the content in this section came from. And maybe that context will just, I'm not sure if people are still confused, but I thought it still might be helpful to go through this. So this section, as I mentioned, is pulling in a high level summary of a number of different sections. So there's, actually I'll just go to the document now. This I think should be the WorkTrack 5 document. So this is the public comment review tool. And so as I mentioned, the idea is to try to group things thematically. So right now we're looking at one of the preliminary recommendations. I'm in the preliminary recommendation section. And this is in respect to, not this one, this one right here about alpha 3 codes. So this constitutes the main bucket, but within that, I had mentioned that we've also tried to pull in the relevant questions and also proposals that are also in regards to the same topic. So in that respect, if you go over this questions for community input tab and scroll down to, I think, I don't remember exactly the exact question, to be honest. Emily, do you remember? I'm not sure. Actually, I'll go to the proposals first because I do remember those ones. So again, the idea is to try to pull in the proposals, the preliminary recommendations, and the question all into one section so that you can look at it in a holistic fashion. And so here you can see that proposal 11 was about delegating alpha 3 codes with government support, or requiring government support or non-objection. And so I guess we thought it'd be helpful to try to provide the visual to, and therefore the context about how the summary document was populated. And of course, by condensing things, we're of course going to lose some of the finer details. But as Martin has said a few times, if we work through this particular document, which is extremely heavy and full of content, it's going to be a much more difficult process for the Work Track 5 to work through. So hopefully this explanation and visual demonstration of where the content came from is helpful for context. Thanks.
So, thank you, Steve. So just on, if we go flip back to the original document, I think down the pages, we've got lists of where it's linked to proposal responses. So do we need to add in here? Oh, actually, I can see it further down now. So it's got proposal 11, proposal 11. Fine. That's what I was looking at previously today, which was that we've tied these back in. This is kind of from the mind map work that you'd done. So proposal 11 is reflected down in some of the comments here from ALAC. I think, is that the same then from up further up? Are these... I'm just getting a bit confused now as we've been populating this as to, is this repeating the information from what I've just covered above?
Hi, Martin. This is Steve from staff, and I think I understand your question. No, they're actually distinct parts. So each of these elements in italics is intended to be sort of a separate theme. And so the high level bucket that we're looking at here is the alpha 3 codes listed in the ISO 3166-1 standard. But within that, we've tried to group similar concepts or trends or topics within this larger bucket. So alpha 3 is the high level bucket, but then within that you have suggestions to make those alpha 3 codes available. You have a different proposal here, which is make them only available to governments. And then you have these other ones that are the proposals. So there are a number of variations about making them available in different circumstances. So it's not we don't believe it's redundant to have all these. They should be separate lines of thought. So hopefully that is helpful.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, it's my confusion, and sorry for any confusion caused. I was thinking that further up, if we go back up to the section that we were on here, that would be tied back to proposal 11 comments. But nevertheless, hopefully you'll start to see that these are bits of information that have come in from various pockets of that analysis spreadsheet into here. So this is all tied back in somehow, but I think some of the cross-referencing we've indicated is further down the page here now. So I'll just go back on this one. In terms of the comments here about
that are grouped into making it available for three character codes. If anybody's got any comments or questions regarding that, feel free to raise your hand. Otherwise, we'll move on to the next batch. And Beth? I can't hear you, Annabeth. You're probably on mute. Is that an old?
Sorry, I'll try again. It's a question from Araste Kavus in the chat that we might try to answer.
Right. So I think, as clearly indicated from what Steve just referred back to, in the initial report, whilst we had recommendations that we pulled together, which are very much along the same lines as what was contained within the 2012 treatment, we also posed a number of questions or proposals that have emerged from various parties within Work Track 5. So these are the responses that we got in, the comments back from the community in relation to those questions or additional proposals, ideas that were offered in the initial report. So it's important, therefore, that we do at least, you know, make sure that we review those and see if there is anything that we need to take away as further discussion point, or if we're happy that it reflects a lot of the discussions that we've previously had within Work Track 5, that it perhaps doesn't actually change any of those preliminary recommendations. So this is why that information is here. We can't just ignore it. We've asked for input. These are the kind of responses that we've received. What do we want to do with them within Work Track 5? So I hope that helps to explain that. But I see your hands up. Please go ahead.
Yes, I don't disagree with you that you just summarize what was sent as a comment, but the issue itself is outside our mandate. So nobody could raise any question which is not in our mandate, and could not misuse the opportunity for comment on something which we have been tasked to do. So they might come to other things, come something like data protection, which is not in our mandate. So our mandate is not that. So you should mention that. Although it was not in the mandate of the group, some commenter raised the issue of the three character code. And for that, there was no agreement. So I think we have not yet treated the two characters, we jumping into the three character code and so on and so forth. So I think we should clearly mention it's outside our mandate. Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't quite understand. What are you saying is outside of our mandate?
To deal with the three character code. It's not in our mandate.
I'm not sure I agree with that from the charter of the group. Does anybody else?
Martin, it's Annabeth here. I could say something here. When we started up the Work Track 5, we started with the same categories of country and territory names that was in the 2012 applicant guidebook, and three letter from ISO 3166 alpha 3 codes, they are a representation and for countries as the same as two, but it's also three. What makes a problem here is that all these three letters are also could also be generic names, and that's what makes it more difficult than the history we have with the two-letter codes. But to say that it's outside of our mandate, I don't agree with that. We try to find a balance between the interest of the countries and the governments for the three-letter code for their country and the interests of the generic or more commercial use and brand owners. That's what we are trying to do. Thank you.
Thanks, Annabeth. I mean, that's my interpretation. And the reason I'm saying it is in scope is that we've already included it in our initial report as recommendations. But the recommendation that was included in that was to keep the status quo.
Yes.
What we've got here is some comments back from the questions that we posed within the initial report and suggestions that have been put forward by members of WorkTrack 5. So that hence we've got these. It's what do we want to do with this information? Does it change the stance of our preliminary recommendations, or is it something that we accept is similar to a broad set of comments that we've had and heard within WorkTrack 5? So it's sort of in line with that type of conversation, in which case do we feel comfortable that the existing preliminary recommendation to keep these as reserved remains.
Exactly.
Okay. So this is outlining those comments back from the questions that we posed as WorkTrack 5. And so the next section was specifically where there was a group that believe that these should be made available to governments. So don't forget that these are all reserved, the three-character country codes. So nobody can apply for them at this stage. So the comments back here, we can see from ccnso.berlin, KG, Hamburg top level domain, geo group, dot zone, government of Spain, and a list of others there, that they're saying here, WorkTrack 5 should not be developing the rules to delegate these strings, set up a separate process to study options, potentially once the new GTLT policy for next round is consolidated. So perhaps that's something that maybe considered as maintain the status quo until a separate review specific to three characters is conducted. Center, AFNIC, NORID, divergence and new idea here should not be addressed by WorkTrack 5 or the new GTLD process, except possibly to recommend a change in the bylaws to establish a new category for these strings. Any delegation should be under the policy authority of the respective national communities, similar to CCTLDs. Set up a separate process following the next round to consider options. So those are ideas put forward there. And then ALAC, also no idea. ICANN should have in place a procedure to pre-qualify applicants for any ISO 3166 Alpha 3 codes prior to launch of the next application window. And that's also linked to response to the proposal 11. Okay, Aristair, I've got you in the queue. And if anybody else has got any comments, please raise your hand to follow. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Can I go ahead, please?
Please do, yeah.
Yes. What was said is exactly what I meant. It is not excluded to be used, but it is not under the WorkTrack 5. That is what I said. I did not say that the three-character code could not be used as a GTLD, maybe, but it is not in the scope of WorkTrack 5 or WorkTrack 5. It should discuss separately with the different, and we should not mix up many things. We still have not covered the whole situation of two characters. We're jumping to three characters, so I think makes the job difficult. So I think the outcome should be more or less the same as CCNSO mentioned or A like that. It may be subject to a separate arrangement, but not WorkTrack 5. That is what I meant. Thank you.
Thanks for the clarification. Anybody else have any comments relating to these aspects? Okay, so if we move down the document, this batch was with a delegate with support non-objection. So this was in response to the ideal proposal number 11. So some support from DotZone, ALAC, which is qualified, so we'd need to dig down into that if you want to find the relevant response or detailed response. Opposed to that string of groups from different corners of the community. And actually, quite a diverse part of the community there. So the next section was delegate with support non-objection, only required if intended use is geo. So this is in response to, it's captured responses from proposal 12, support from the registrar stakeholder group. As don't support the restriction in general, but could accept it. So that's a group from IPC into registry stakeholder group of registries. But then opposition to that suggestion, but for different reasons. So again, this is quite a diverse set of comments coming in here from all corners of ICANN that oppose that particular idea. Excuse me. And then capturing a response to a suggestion under proposal 13 regarding ISO should not be the source of three character codes in ICANN's work. Opposition from, again, a very broad set of groups and individual organizations that opposed that. Registry stakeholder raised concerns that the proposal was unclear. So I'll stop there just in case anybody's got any observations or comments or questions for those points we covered. Steve, please go ahead.
Thanks, Martin. This is Steve Chan from staff again. And I just wanted to note that the section that we're looking at right now in respect of proposal 11 through 13, there's additional detail, as I think it's noted in the write-up here. There's additional detail in the comments themselves, and you know that, of course, applies to every section. But in particular for the proposals, they've been condensed a little bit more so. And so I think the framing that you did earlier, Martin, is actually really helpful and instructive here. So taking note of the existing preliminary recommendation that this work check made, which is, you know, to continue reserving three-letter codes. When you look at these ones, you know, determining whether or not the work track 5 needs to look into additional details, that could be dependent on whether or not the ideas here have merit. So if the work track thinks that a different approach should be taken, that the three-letter codes should not be protected, then it makes sense to dive into some of these, which are essentially variations on making the three-letter codes available in some form or fashion. So like I said, just wanted to provide a little context to note that the proposals themselves have more detail in the comments, but also maybe just to reemphasize the point Martin made to how to look at all the text that's captured in this section and where it might make sense to dive deeper and look at the detail that's captured in other documents. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. I'm clear now that we've just come to the end of that section. So I think that's a useful point to sort of refer back to there and sort of say, you know, any comments now would be great, but also to take the opportunity to digest what is in this first part that we've covered today. And share on the list any thoughts or comments as to whether we should deviate from the original recommendation that was put in the preliminary recommendation that was put in the initial report, or whether this helps to gravitate towards what we originally put in there anyway, with some obviously ideas and suggestions that have come through, but noticing here the long list of oppositions for each of those particular points you can see on the page here, does that lend us to feel very comfortable that we can proceed with what we've already got in place for three character codes? So I think conscious of time, I would ask as an action to the group is to go through that section and share on the list any concerns, or if you're feeling confident that that reinforces what the work track has put into the preliminary recommendation for three character codes is valid and should move forward. That would be helpful. Now we are coming up to, we've got about 9 minutes left. So I think it might be a useful point to stop at this stage, and then we can go on to any other business to cover off ICANN 65 and any other items people may want to discuss before we end the call. But before I do that, can I just check, did anybody have any initial comments that they've got in response to the three character code elements that we've gone through just now? Seeing none? Okay, thank you. So let's move on to AOB. So I've listed ICANN 65. If anybody's got any other business, please raise your hand. And in the meantime, I'll just cover off ICANN 65. I think you should have all received a notification that pre-ICANN webinars will be organized in the coming weeks. So if you want to find out what's going on, policy updates, including all the work that's been going on in the subsequent procedures, there's a good opportunity to do that before ICANN 65 by tuning into a selection of webinars that ICANN will be conducting. So please make sure you take a look at that and register for any that you're interested in. In terms of work track five, we've got on the Monday, two sessions. So I think, I'm not sure of the times, so if any of the staff could just clarify time for any sessions that we've got for work track five, that would be great. Just put that in the chat. But it's at the early stages of planning, and depending on how we're going to progress after today and for the next three meetings, we'll dictate what content we include for those two sessions during ICANN 65. So was there anything else from co-lead staff that we should flag in terms of ICANN meeting coming up? No? Can't see anything, can't hear anybody. Okay, so if I put a call out then for any final business that people would like to raise on this call, and in the meantime, again, if there's any, actually, if somebody could put in the next call time for next week, that would be helpful. I've forgotten what that would. But we are due to meet for the next 3 weeks before the next ICANN meeting on the Wednesday. It's gone very quiet. Has anybody got? Aha, there we go. Thanks, Steve. So it's 1400 UTC for next week. Okay. Thanks, Steve. Okay. Well, if there's no other business, you can all have 5 minutes back of your day. All right. Thanks very much for everybody's input today and participation. All right. Bye now.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference. Please remember to disconnect all lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.